This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When bloggers or influencers post their outfit links, 9 times out of 10, I click on it and immediately exit because the price is bananas. It wasn't until recently that I clicked on something expecting it to be the usual out of my price range sweater, and it was under $60 at Quince. Quince has become my ultimate destination for luxury essentials that won't break the bank. Let me tell you about some of the gems I found at Quince. From their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50 to their washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, Quince offers a range of high quality items at prices that are truly within reach. And here's the best part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Hi!
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 Okay, second time's the charm.
Yes, we recorded.
Hopefully it's not third
before.
Time's the charm.
I know. Mercury retrograde
is messed up everything.
Our first one.
Always. It's honestly, can we just always blame everything on Mercury on retrograde?
I think it's Mercury in retrograde.
What did I say?
On retrograde.
Mercury is on.
I think retrograde means it goes the other way.
Mercury is on retrograde. I feel
right?
Like it's like a like
it's
a fancy
on it.
I'm changing it.
Okay, so on this show you've heard us talk about the amazing Nikki that saved our life. She
and continues to save our life.
What would you say your title is, Nikki? We've had about 10,000. What's your title? What's your job?
It's something I struggle with, actually, because I kind of have two jobs with you guys, working as a producer for the podcast, mm-hmm. and then working, you know, for the therapy group more so in an operations role. So a producer / head of operations / I don't know, goes to FedEx.
Everything. Does
you do go
everything.
To, you do spend a lot of time at
and,
FedEx.
And IKEA.
And IKEA.
And Target.
Yes. It's been a while since she's had to go to IKEA, but there
I know,
was
there's
time
still time.
I was serious, yes.
IKEA and Target are like, that's a dream. Love those runs.
So the reason we really want you to come on is because I think we have this idea that we go to college for something and then we go to grad school or we like do whatever and it's like one linear path. And that is sure as hell not what it looks like for most people. And I think you're a very good example of that.
Yes.
And so we, as much as you have resisted and not wanted to be recorded anytime and you don't ever want to be in front of the camera, we have given you no choice today. So to the show, Nikki Finecox.
you cannot say her full name without laughing.
Yeah, well,
just, what does that say about us?
I don't know.
It's not actually my full name. Like, I kept my middle name because Nikki Finecox just isn't going to fly in the real world.
Right.
So,
I mean, it does in here.
Okay. What do you want to be called today? And what is your title?
Oh my God. Put me on the spot. Nikki Cox, head of operations at the therapy group, producer at Shrink Chicks.
Beautiful. That's actually really good. You practiced that.
Yeah.
That was good. That was a really good one.
So Nikki, first of all, once again, saved our lives, changed our lives, continues to do so. Tell everyone a little bit about how you got here.
Absolutely. And I just want to preface this by saying I hate public speaking. Like, it is my number one fear, to normalize that for anybody else who feels the same way. I spoke to my doctor about it, so I encourage you to do the same.
Did you take a beta blocker today?
Prescribed beta blockers, and I have taken one, and it really
amazing.
Helps public speaking.
Amazing.
So just want to put that out there. Yes, so I had no idea what I wanted to do after college. I majored in psychology and I loved it. And that's kind of all I knew. And I figured that with a psych major, I could do a lot of things. So when I graduated, I saw a posting on Facebook from somebody who was in my sorority, older than me, and she had said her company was hiring. And it was a sales role at a recruiting company. And I had no business background, no sales background. But I was like, sounds like they make a lot of money. So
I'll just do that one.
I like money, right? And so I applied and I interviewed and I got the job. And I think there is a big piece of graduating and kind of having that fear that you're not going to get hired anywhere. And so I got hired, and there was a big piece of me that knew it wasn't the right move. I remember like asking everyone in my life, like, should I take this job? Do you think it's right? And then being like, yeah, like, great, you got hired, take the job. And I think like just looking back on different instances in my life where I have to ask for that external validation from other people really is telling to me that I know that it's the opposite. But I want somebody to kind of co-sign and tell me it's okay to not take the job in that instance, and nobody was doing that. So I was like, all right, I guess, you know, number one, it was like a people pleasing thing. Like, they like me, I should take the job. And number two, you know, everyone who I trusted in my life told me that they thought it was a good idea. And so I took it.
What would you say to them now?
Great question.
Now I'd be like, this is the opposite of me. Mainly because I'll tell you, when you got your first hire,
I love this.
You got to do a dance in front of
you
the
got
entire
to do you got you to, got to. Well, you yes, lucky person.
Exactly. It was sold as like, this is your time to shine and do a dance for the person that you hired for the first time.
Oh, you're doing it for the person you hired.
No.
Oh, right? Did you? I know.
I don't know if that would
could
be worse.
Could you imagine?
Quite horrible.
Well, I don't know if that's worse. If you're just doing it for one person as opposed to in front of like the entire company.
So wait, so Nikki, you just told us that you had to take a pill to come on a podcast. And yet right. You were supposed to get up in front of an entire organization and dance for a hire.
Should have been my first red flag. I saw it as a deterrent. I was like, oh, I mean, I don't want to hire anyone. And that would equal out to no money. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I was kind of stalling on it. I was like legitimately scared about this dance.
What dance would you have done?
I have no idea. I didn't even let myself like think about it. Like, I can't do the worm. I can't do anything
the
that would
worm.
Be like funny.
Could you imagine if Nikki got
what
down into the worm?
Do?
Oh, people like went all out. They were like, almost like choreographed situations.
What?
This was before TikTok too.
Yeah, this was. This was in
right. If this was in the age of TikTok, you could have just done like a duh, like, you know, move my
oh
arms.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, like
so
just a
true.
Few arms,
right?
You point
you
at things.
Anymore,
you can
yeah.
point at things.
Oh, you just point at things.
Yeah, that's the move.
This
that's
was in
a
the
dance.
Age of Vine.
Oh shit. I loved yeah. Vine.
But it wasn't as choreographed. It was just hilarious.
Yeah, it was so yeah. so funny.
So yeah, so I left that job. After 3
can't
months,
imagine
never
why.
Started anyone, never danced.
Can you imagine? I think we should start implementing that. Like every time Nikki gets us on another podcast, we should make her do a dance.
Oh my God, that's torture.
I don't know. I feel like, would you
You'll
be more comfortable doing
a podcast? Yeah. That's
true. That's a good point. Just shooting myself in the foot.
Her body just like would shut down. Like all of a sudden she wouldn't be able to write emails anymore.
Yeah, it's true. Which is basically yep. impossible. She's so good at emails.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so, yeah, so I left that job. I knew I wanted to leave pretty much immediately. And I think that's kind of like, in a way, to reframe it, it's kind of nice to have that validation from myself that I knew it wasn't right. And then to actually experience it, because you can't know if something is right without experiencing it, and to experience it and then say, It's not working for me and I need to do something different. And
I kind of think that that's like part of the process of like figuring out what works for you is learning to trust yourself where you're like, okay, you know, this might be something you know, that could make me money and maybe I'll be good, you know, it'll feel good for me. And you get in it and you're like, oh, wait, I actually should have trusted my gut that was telling me this wasn't right for me.
Yes. And instances like that continue to kind of occur throughout my career path. But it is really hard to trust yourself, especially in those tumultuous early 20s years.
Well, and I think there is a really big message of just take any job. Right? Like, and that's what we're saying. It was like, hey, you got this opportunity. It's sales. You can make money. Like, why not do it? Because having security matters much more than about happiness, unfortunately.
And I also think it's like you do so much, you know, after 4 years, if you're going to a four-year college, after 4 years of doing all this work, you're like, okay, I need like the payoff of this, right? Like, I just spent so much work. I need the payoff, and the payoff is a job, right?
100%.
And so there's kind of this pressure to just like get into something and be successful in it. But as we know, that for the most part isn't the case, right? Like we kind of jump around at the beginning or even at the end, you know, and to try to figure out what's right for us. But I think there is a pressure and I need to figure this out immediately.
I felt that pressure really bad. And so when, you know, I was told by somebody, that you can do anything for a year when I started to think about quitting. And for me, it was like unimaginable to stay there for a year. And I think that also goes back to the fact that like, it wasn't right for me, you know?
Is that a resume thing? Like you need to have like a year.
I feel that sounds right.
Wait, doesn't that sound like something?
Because then people are going to like question why you haven't been, they look at your resume and they're like, oh, why were you only here for 3 months? Like,
Riley, I feel like that is like a resume thing. People do tell you that, yeah. Not like actually like, oh, give it a chance. It's more like, well, you have to do this because of the resume.
Everyone's going to look at your resume.
Fucking resume.
You guys didn't look at my resume.
No. Nope. I don't even think, wait, did you ever give us a resume?
No. I haven't updated my resume in years.
Also, in general, we don't look at resumes.
No. Well, because what matters to us is the person.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, we can tell everything in the interview.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so you quit the job. What do you do then?
And so before I quit, I had applied to grad school. I was thinking of acceptance to grad school as, like, my ticket out. And the day I got accepted was the day that I gave my 2 weeks notice. And so I applied to grad school for school counseling, formerly known as guidance counseling, but they don't call it that anymore because it's not as all-encompassing. So school counselor.
Ooh, interesting.
And I knew I really loved my school counselor in high school. Oh. She was kind of instrumental in some of my growth. I had some like hard times and I really leaned on that support. And I was like, this could be a really cool way to combine, you know, my mental health passion with something somewhat structured, which is what I thought I wanted. And so I went to grad school.
You ended up in the most.
I know. I was thinking
this. I was in the most unstructured environment you could ever imagine. We're gonna get into that later. Sorry,
but that's something I learned about myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession.
Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packed. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
So, I went to grad school. It was great. Loved it. And I had an internship in grad school that I ended up carrying over into a job at a high school. And so, almost dropped the mic there.
let's drop that mic, baby. What comes next?
I literally said nothing of significance.
Yeah.
That didn't happen at the right time. But
there's still time. Just toss your mic across the room when you say something important.
So I was a school counselor for a little over 3 years. I somehow the entire time was covering a maternity leave.
That's a long pregnancy.
I know. Poor woman. bouncing around from actually a few different maternity leaves, staying within the same district. And, you know, I really liked it in the beginning. However, the theme of imposter syndrome kept showing up. And I think that can happen a lot with younger therapists, teachers, counselors, you know, there's certain professions where your age can kind of be seen as a negative. And so I remember my first day, I was training with the counselor that was going out on her leave, and a parent came in for a meeting, and she asked the parent, can my substitute, you know, join this meeting? And the parent was like, "That's your substitute? Absolutely not. My son will not see somebody while you're gone that is that young. Please put me with another counselor." Looked me up and down.
Wow.
I would have cried too. Same. I would have totally cried.
I would have cried.
Just like hits you like, oof. And I sort of, you know, got over that as I got more confident in the role. But to start out like that was challenging.
Bad first day.
Horrible first day. And so I ended up interviewing a lot because this role was not permanent. And so I think I went on 11 interviews at different schools in the area. Never got hired.
Okay, but I will say this. One, yes, Nikki is amazing.
I was about to freak out.
Pennsylvania is also very competitive in their education, right? There's like a lot of, like, am I true about, like, is this true, right? Like, there's a lot of education programs in Pennsylvania, and they're also, there's like a pension. Right. So, like, Pennsylvania is like big for schools. Like, it actually is. She's amazing. I'm not discounting that, Nikki. And I'm not surprised to hear that it was so difficult to get a position in the state of Pennsylvania.
Yes. And people really stay in education jobs. Like, it is a kind of life or career. I think for a few reasons, you know, it's a nice schedule, to have, you know, to be home at four and to have your summers off. And, there's a great pension, like you said. Mm-hmm. And I think there's also like a ton of guilt, leaving the career. I think when you work, obviously, if you're working in a school, you have a big heart. And I think, you know, you kind of put yourself on the back burner. You're doing it for the kids. You're doing it for the parents. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a reason why people, like, when you're young, think that the teachers, like, live at school. Because, like, they're almost supposed to separate themselves from the job. Mm-hmm. And that's impossible. But I do think that's a big reason why, yes, the jobs are hard to come by. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and also interviewing ignites my public speaking fear. And so that was really hard for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm really, first of all, I want the job. I'm really scared that I'm not going to get the job. Mm-hmm. I'm terrified to interview and then I don't get the job. So, like,
it just reinforces.
It's a negative feedback loop, right? Like, it just is a negative feedback loop. It's going to keep going, keep increasing anxiety. And that feeling of rejection is just going to, like, slowly chip away at you.
I hate to throw the conversation off, but I just had a thought and I just wanted to pose it to everyone. Did you ever call your teacher mom by accident?
Yes. Oh, everyone did. And the kid counselors.
It was so embarrassing.
You feel like you could never recover.
You're like, oh my God. Right? Like, feels
so
like
embarrassing.
I don't know.
Well, because you're so, everything is so embarrassing when you're young.
Yes, yeah, so true. Being a human is
just being a human when you're young is so embarrassing.
I don't know. My most embarrassing thing is farting in science class and blaming it on my shoe. And, like, it was not my fucking shoe.
Did people know?
Everyone knew. And it was not my shoe.
What kind of, you were like, wait, you were wearing like slippers or like Uggs?
Probably jelly. Uggs? How old do you think I am?
I'm just thinking of the one shoe that, like, could not squeak if you tried.
Well, jellies, though. I feel like I was wearing jellies.
That they're squeaky.
Squeaky fucking shoe.
It was the shoe. It wasn't you.
It was my butt. It was my butt.
I'm sorry. I just had to throw that out there. Okay. Just the one of those things came back to me of, like, remembering.
Oh yeah.
It, like,
Hopefully Ben can throw that in there.
Okay. So So you're doing all this stuff, 10 freaking interviews, you're covering someone's mat leave. And, like, are you loving
a bunch of people's mat leaves?
A bunch of different people, right? Are you loving the job too? Like, are you very happy at the job? I don't think I asked that part.
I actually interviewed for a role at the school I was in, and I didn't like that.
Ouch.
And so
you're already there.
Yeah. And so that was kind of the straw that really broke it. I was just like, because, like, when you're also still working for the people, like, you're like, do they not, like, am I doing a bad job? Like, right. Do they not? And so, yeah, I started to think about leaving. I had no idea what to do. My grad school degree is so niche. Mm-hmm. I could have gone back to get more credits to be a therapist, but I wasn't sure about that. I actually applied or started to apply to do it. And then I never finished the application. I would have, like, brainstorming sessions with myself of, like, what do I want to do? And I couldn't figure it out. And so I knew I was staying through the end of her leave. And so I had some time. And in that time, I really developed a passion for podcasts. My commute was so long. It was like anywhere from like 45 minutes to over an hour each way. And I just started listening to podcasts. I am not the kind of person that, like, loves music. And so whenever I'm in the car or, like, folding laundry or doing something around the house, I'm usually listening to a podcast. Mm-hmm. And I heard Emily on Betches Brides podcast, which was, I was still listening to it after I got married, which just shows you like how much time I had in the car. I was just like, I'm listening to everything. Right.
Years later.
Right. And Emily like blew me away. I listened to her episode. I don't even remember what it was about. I just remember.
Yeah, which one was it?
I just remember how I felt. I just remember being like, this person is like a genius. And
you are.
I don't even know what it's about.
I don't either. But you,
there were so many episodes. Yes, thank you very much. So glad you enjoyed it. Very funny you weren't getting married. It's like very funny that you were not a bride at that time.
Nope. And then I think like a month or two later you came back.
Yeah.
And I like remember seeing the episode and I'm like, oh, she's back. Like, can't wait to listen. And I listened.
Did you realize that we were so close? Like, did you realize that I was in Philadelphia?
You said that.
Okay, the first time.
Yeah, the first time. But the second time, you said you and your business partner had started a podcast of your own.
Yeah.
And I was like, no shit. I was like, this
That
is-
was my reaction too, Nikki, when Emily brought it to me. In like a negative way.
Of course. I would have felt the same exact way if she posed that idea to me.
Right, right.
And I was just like, these women are in my backyard. They're doing this incredible thing. Like, I think our generation especially, we somewhat have therapy normalized for us. Mm. And I think at this point, like a lot of people have been to therapy or at least have like dabbled with like, you know, following along on certain, you know, social media or reading books, you know, self-help. And I think there's a fascination with relationships and therapeutic topics and just like human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, this is genius. I couldn't stop thinking about it. Wow. And I already was sort of like immersed in the podcast world. And so as a listener. And so I was like, how can I work for them? I love podcasts. I love mental health, but I got really nothing else as far as like knowing how to produce or.
That's all you need for us.
I was really blown away by the first two episodes of your podcast.
I am scared to know what was even on those episodes.
Who knows? But we were doing that. But it's funny, right? Because you said like, oh, well, I didn't know how to like produce or edit. But like, neither did we.
We
right?
had
like,
no clue. We were in Emily's house.
Yeah, we bought shitty mics off Amazon. Yeah. And just like recorded in my bedroom. So like, it might probably looked legit from the outside.
Did it? Did it seem legit from the outside?
I thought it was super legit. Like to the point where I was very scared to contact you.
Okay, so let's talk about that part.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14-karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Yeah, so I remember coming home the first, so I listened to both of the episodes on the way home one day, because that's how long it took me to get home. And I was like, I like skipped inside and I like told my husband, I'm like, I found the most incredible podcast. I need to figure out a way to work for them. And he was like, okay, like I'll help. And so I started making a list of different things that I thought you guys could do with the podcast, whether that be, you know, engagement on social media or certain podcasts I thought that would really appreciate you as guests. And so I kept this like little notepad because I knew I was going to eventually try and reach out and I didn't want to come empty handed. And so then I wrote you, I drafted a DM to send to you. John helped me, my husband, and he actually was the one who ended up pressing send because I was too scared.
Do you have that DM with you?
I do. I'm like, whenever I look at it, which is not often just because I pulled it up for this episode, so the two times I've looked at it, it's just funny knowing you now. I approached it like it was like much more of a professional, like corporate setting than it is.
Of course. Well, that's also like what you're taught, right? Like when you reach out, that you have to be very professional. And a lot of therapists who reach out who want to work with us do the same thing, understandably so.
Of course. Yeah. And I think, and I remember like, you know, people were like, oh, you know, when you write this, like just be yourself. And I was like, who is that? You know, like, especially with the whole interview rejection over and over, I'm like, I don't know if I'm really allowed to be myself in a work setting. Mm. Maybe who I am is too much or too little, or somehow have to morph into what, you know, these people are looking for. And so this is corporate Nikki who wrote this DM. Oh God. Okay. I want to start out by reiterating how much I have been enjoying the Shrink Chicks podcast because I messaged you before.
Did we answer the first one?
And did we not answer the first one?
You said best message ever. Thank you so much for your support.
Oh, we did it.
So nice. Your collective relatability is a breath of fresh air. The realness you offer is so often absent in therapy or in therapists, but I could immediately tell that was not the case here. I'm reaching out to one, applaud your work with two clap emojis.
Good.
And two, because I feel so strongly about what you are doing, I want to know how I could become involved with Shrink Chicks. I know that the podcast has huge growth potential based on the two of you and your personalities, your WCTG following, and the fascination our generation has with marriage and family systems. I would be glad to provide assistance with anything and everything, logistics, guests, Instagrams, DMs, questions, etc. I'm totally going out on a limb here, but I trust my gut and just felt inspired by what I have heard so far. Please let me know if you'd be open to grabbing coffee to explore possibilities, or if nothing else, network between mental health professionals. Thank you so much.
And what did we say back?
You emailed me because I sent my email and the signature.
Oh, thank God.
I can't believe we did that. That's amazing. Well, and
I was like floored when I got that email.
We're floored that we were
like that we wrote an email.
Yeah, we wrote an email.
Yeah.
And you're all about to hear why.
looking back on it, I would also be floored that you responded. But yes, at the time, I did not know this about you. And so I remember like that feeling was like almost like when you're first dating somebody. I'm like, oh my God, they emailed me. And so you emailed and you said you would love to grab coffee. And setting that coffee up was quite challenging because then you stopped emailing.
Did you fail?
Must have caught us at such like a unique time.
Right. We were like, we have so much time.
Right. And like then I was like, oh, this girl seems cool. Send an email. And then like we fucking disappear. Like this is a thing.
So sorry. Did you feel rejected?
You know what? No. Okay. I didn't. I was like, they're probably really busy in my head. And I felt, and I know, you know, I don't really like think of myself as like someone who has like a super strong intuition or gut. Like I actually struggle with trusting my gut and intuition, but this was like no brainer. I was like, wow. I just knew that I had to be involved. It was almost like, I wanted to like invest in a startup or something. Like I was like, this is that I want to get in on this like now, because I just know how much it's gonna grow and affect and change people's lives. Like that's how I felt. And
at this point, Jen was still like, can we fucking be done with this yet?
Yeah, I was ready. Right. How many podcast episodes were coming out per
a month?
It was not consistent.
Right.
which was my first suggestion.
She continues to suggest it too.
Right.
But I think like this is one of the reasons why we wanted to bring Nikki on, is because, you know, I think that a lot of people struggle with this in terms of trusting themselves and saying, this is something I'm really passionate about, even though like you just loved podcasts and had never worked in podcasts before. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just want to highlight that piece real quick, because you were so connected to that feeling that you had and you went for it. Which is a really big move.
Yeah. And I think I emailed you like maybe I think twice to get a response, and then like twice again to get a response again. But I was like there was no signs you were giving me that were like negative. So I was like, I'm just going to keep checking in and hopefully we can make this work.
Persistence is key.
I was very persistent.
But you know what, though? That is part of what makes you really good at your job, too. You know, it's almost like that in and of itself spoke to us in a lot of ways, considering Emily and I are so bad at emailing, that the fact that you were persistent with us and consistent with us, you know, it makes you actually really good at the job that you have now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, wait. So, like, let's talk about. So, you finally get us somehow, and you come into the office. And I think one of the things also that's happening for us is like we couldn't figure out what you would do or what you wanted to do for us. You know what I mean?
Or
like, we also were not in the place financially to pay stuff. Like, we didn't really know what this was going to look like
or what we needed. And, you know,
yes,
when you
we
start,
doing, so it's hard to say. So what
right. Yeah. And when you start anything, you know, it's just. It was really hard and challenging for us to give up any sort of control. So
yeah, I remember like wondering what you guys were thinking, because it kind of was like, you know, here I am, I want to work for you, and like to expect that with no strings attached, because there certainly were not any strings attached, but like you didn't know me, you didn't know
right?
that.
Right. Okay, so you come into our office.
Came into your office. I remember like pulling up and just being like, you can
did,
do it.
Did you take a beta blocker beforehand?
That is a great question. Probably.
Okay.
I don't remember, but I would venture to guess. Yes.
Okay.
And I met you, and I, quite honestly do not remember the conversation because I was that nervous, but I know that it was like good.
You came in with notes and you're like, here's what I think. You should probably start doing it weekly.
Yeah, you had here notes of like, how to like improve the podcast. Yes. Yeah.
And we just sat there like, I'm sorry, you've listened? Like, we were still figuring out how people even heard the podcast.
Well, and I also remember us thinking after that, like, she would be such a good therapist. We were like, go back to school. And, you know, because we also didn't know where the podcast was going or if it was going to do anything at all. And so, you know, our minds go straight to like, oh, you would be such a good therapist.
Yeah. And I actually was contemplating doing that at the time. So in my head, I'm like, oh, maybe I could go back to school and work for them on the side while I'm, you know, in school. And so, you know, with that, it turned into I would call it an internship.
Yeah. Wait, now when was this though? Wait, what are the dates here?
This was, so I DM'd you in December of 2019. Mm-hmm. We met in January of 2020. And then
COVID.
And so okay. I was still doing, you know, my school counseling job, and I had planned to continue to do that until either, you know, I was able to make money doing, you know, working for you guys, or figured out what it is I wanted to do next. Mm-hmm. And so I worked both jobs for a year.
Wow. I mean, and you know, you really, like, I think one thing that, once again, Emily and I had trouble kind of giving up any control at that point. But you really made it very easy for us to give up that control that we had held on to, because you worked so hard and did so many things that we never would have thought of.
Well, you rolled in and you had this list of names, right? And you're like, here are the shows I think you can get on. And we're like, what? Like, we've done, like, probably at this point, put out, like, 4 episodes. Like, we don't really know what we're doing. Jen is still trying to convince me to let this go.
I'm still
and,
on it.
And one of those was Caitlin Bristow.
Yes.
And I was like, no fucking way. And so then you're like, well, I'm just going to try. I'm just going to send her an email. How did you even know what to write? Did you Google it? Or you just did a pitch?
You know, that's a really good question. I just sort of wrote. I was like, I made a draft. I had John read it to see if it sounded like crazy or not. And I just want to send it. I just want to try. And so you guys made me an email address, and I started pitching. I pitched, like, I would say 5 or 6 sort of bigger podcasts, same general email. And we heard back from Caitlin Bristow's Off the Vine.
And Nick Vial's.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. And that was probably like the most excited I had felt about something in a really long time as far as work went. And so I was like, this just feels right. Like, this is what my vision was for them. You know, hopefully they're on board, because I really think that if the right people hear them and talk to them, it's just going to blow up. Like, how could it not? That's how I felt.
Okay, so then we book this trip to Nashville. I was going to say,
we were so on board that we booked a trip to Nashville.
We booked a trip to Nashville. We're like, we're taking Nikki. We don't even know this girl. We've met her for like 1 second.
I know.
And we're all going to go on this trip together. And then COVID hits and everything's canceled.
And it was right during Nikki's birthday. And Nikki was a little bummed that she was going to have to spend her birthday with two strangers.
In Nashville at some, like, are we sharing beds?
Like, right. Like, there was a lot lost in communication. Yeah, yes.
We're like, what's going to happen here?
And okay. Knowing you now, you would have given me a wonderful birthday.
The best
Didn't
birthday.
Know that then.
Yeah. Fair.
And we still did send you a present, though.
We did.
You did.
A FabFitFun box.
Yes. You know, I still wear the perfume that was in there. It's the best perfume I've ever had.
Okay. So... And then all of a sudden you interned for us for 6 months, and then all of a sudden you're part-time, and then we convince you to quit your job and come full-time.
Pretty much. And so, yeah. And it sort of naturally progressed into a bigger role. You know, at first it was kind of just managing Shrink Chick stuff, you know, responding to emails that would trickle in. It was not crazy or anything. And pitching every now and then, I would be like, ooh, maybe this podcast would work, or this one. And so that was really what I was doing. I was also helping a little bit with social media content, which came very easy to me just growing up with Instagram, which is something, you know, I think sometimes we forget these skills that we have just by living. Mm. And so that was something cool. I felt really confident in being able to navigate different, you know, facets of Instagram. And so I was helping with that. But over time, it really progressed into, you know, the podcast started growing and the practice in turn also was growing rapidly. And so I started, you know, helping with like operational things at the practice, which I also found that I really loved. I'm very task oriented. And so I think an operations role is, you know, inherently tasks. Mm-hmm. I'm like, give me a task. Let me knock it off the list.
You're
like,
so good at it. You're so good at lists.
And we are not. So this was such a good balance for us.
Okay. So let's wait. But we have to go back to something you said earlier about like going into a structured environment.
Yeah.
So you went from a very, very structured environment to the most chaotic and unstructured environment you could probably ever imagine. And it brings up our first listener question, which is, what does a typical workday look like?
I know. The least structure. And I couldn't love it anymore. With an education job, you know, you're there at the same time every day. You leave at the same time-ish every day. You're kind of doing very similar things every day. And, you know, I thought that's what I wanted. I am a pretty routine person. Like, I eat oatmeal for breakfast every morning.
She's
going to turn into the Quaker Oats man. Yes. That's what happens.
I'm going to be him for Halloween.
That's what you should. Yeah.
He makes some good oats, let me tell you.
He does. He's still making them.
So what does your day look like now, though?
And so now it's so variable. And I... You know, some days, like we said before, some days I'm going, you know, those beautiful trees for everyone who's watching, the trees in the background, they are ficus trees from Target. Some days I am going to Target and hauling out giant ficus trees over my shoulder.
Like an hour and a half away because it's the only place I could find this one particular tree we needed.
Yep. Some days are like that. Some days I'm helping to interview, you know, do first round interviews with new clinicians. Some days I'm doing content for social media. A lot of days I'm listening to you speak and picking out, you know, promotional clips and all that for the podcast.
A few weeks ago, you had to wait on a website for 3 hours to get me into a class I needed to get into.
Oh my God. But that was like, I don't mind that kind of stuff because it's like a goal. I'm like,
yeah,
I have to
you're
get
great
this
with
for
a goal.
Her. And, but yeah, it's variable, but it's like variable in the best way.
Okay. All right. We have a lot of listener questions we have to get to.
Let's do it.
Okay. I like this one. What has been the biggest surprise working for us?
I think that's a perfect segue because it's a surprise that I was able to adapt to the way that you do things.
But what did you think at first? Like the first like 2 weeks you worked with us full time, were you like, what the fuck?
Yes. I did not know how to operate the way you were operating.
It's fair.
Like I just remember like it was always like jumping from one thing to the other And I was like, wait. I'm supposed to cross off the first thing off the list before I get to the second thing. And I was just like, how do you do this?
And you have to know, Emily and I, you know, like I think our minds are all over the place because we have a lot on our plate, and we just jump so quickly from thing to thing. And so Nikki
and we have ADHD.
And we have ADHD. So Nikki really reins us in.
Yeah, and I remember in the beginning like thinking to myself like, should I be reining them in? Like I had a moment with myself. I was like, maybe you need to be a little bit less rigid and lean into this a little bit and see how it works. And I did that and I can totally handle it now. It's funny. Like the other day, I remember I was like in the middle of an email and then something popped into my mind and I like went to go do that. And I was like, look at me.
Look at me being flexible.
Look at me jumping around.
Look at me adapting and being flexible.
And also getting ADHD slowly. Slowly,
yeah,
but really.
I think you're giving it to me.
Rubbing
right.
off.
And, well, it's like it is. There's just so many different things that happen here, like on a day, right? And then also Jen and I see clients in between all the stuff that we do, right? So then there's also times we're not available for 3 hours straight that we end up going like back to back. And so if something happens during that time, you're taking it.
I know. And in the beginning, that was very scary.
Yeah.
But like all things, with time, things do, you do build some confidence. But it's hard. It's hard when you start.
And that brings us into another listener question, because I think this is important for anyone who's listening, and I think everyone's experienced this in a lot of ways. What would you say some tips are to avoid imposter syndrome when making a drastic career change?
I don't think you can. I think imposter syndrome, I think our generation is very focused on pleasing others, and we're less focused on checking in on ourselves. And I think that imposter syndrome kind of goes with that. Like, you're just kind of like, what does everyone else think of me? Like, am I doing it right? Am I doing a good enough job? And like, you're kind of forgetting to check in, like, do I like what I'm doing? Because I felt more of an imposter when I didn't like what I was doing. So I think, you know, obviously in the beginning of anything, it's hard. There's a learning curve. You have to adapt to new people. You have to adapt to new tasks. You have to adapt to new styles of operating. And I think it's so easy to feel like an imposter. I still do every now and then, like, especially if I'm pitching, I'm like, ooh, because it's a little scary and rejection is hard. But I don't think you can avoid it. But I think, you know, having some sort of awareness about where it's coming from and maybe looking into why it feels so, what other word besides imposter can I use? Why you feel like such an imposter, I
guess. Fraud, like why you like feel like not good enough, you don't know enough, you're like not a seasoned enough, like you just feel too green.
Right,
you know?
Like what are the feelings that come with it that are challenging for you?
Yep.
All of the above.
Okay. How did you find the confidence to reach out to Em and Jen? And besides that, John actually reached out to us, not you.
Yeah, just thinking about thanks, John. Even just thinking about like pitching, like I was so much more confident in sending those pitches than reaching out to you guys. And thinking about it now, it's like, you know, the pitches were like hopeful. I was like, there's, you know, this might happen, probably not. And so let me just shoot my shot. And then with you guys, it felt tangible. It felt like this might actually work. And so it was a little bit scarier because that rejection was more realistic in my mind. And so I sat on that DM for a few days, just trying to weigh the pros and cons of sending it. And, you know, obviously I'm really glad that I did, but I just remember thinking like, I'm going to be crushed if they say no. And that can stop you. That can pause you. That can, you know, hold you back from even trying.
So it's almost, you know, knowing that there's a possibility of rejection and saying, you know, I'm going to be able to, it'll be hard, but I'll be able to work through it. And what's the risk reward there?
Yep, absolutely.
Somebody wrote, as a former school counselor, did working for Strange Chicks change how you listened and counseled while you were doing both jobs?
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love this question because I would tell Em and Jen all the time that listening to them as much as I did because of the podcast and having to listen to each episode like, you know, two or three times, and the content on Instagram, I felt like I learned more from the two of them that was applicable to one-on-one counseling than I did in grad school. So you got to start the Engine School of Counseling.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the pitch right there.
We
man.
Have so
Here
much time. We should do
we
that.
We have a ton of time, so we should do it. That's a great
Nikki,
idea.
Honestly, that's Nikki starting the school. If anyone's going to... Nikki's just putting more on her plate.
And like we would be like the antithesis. What's it called? Like the right? Like of actual grad programs. Like they would hate what we have to say.
Well, there's so much that they teach you in grad school specifically for counseling or therapy about like not being authentic. And the fact that you guys are authentic has allowed me to be authentic. And that is so invaluable and important in my, you know, life and my, mm-hmm. and that I can work for two people where I can, I know who I am and I can be that person.
Nikki, we could talk to you all day, and the good news is that we get to.
We get.
Because literally,
we're going to talk to you right after
the
this.
The amount of times I FaceTime Nikki and she answers the phone and she's just getting out of the shower.
Oh my God. It's just like, it's like clockwork. I'm like,
oh, like, what? We
have a secret suspicion that you're just constantly showering.
that's our thing. But before we go, though, we got to call some BS.
Let's do it.
All right. What are we calling BS on?
So I think, number one, that you must stay where you are. I think, you know, a lot of us, including myself, like to be right. If you're a perfectionist like me, it's almost like you want to get like an A+ in like decision making. Like you want to just like be right all the time about your life and what you choose to do and all that. And I think there's a lot of grief in accepting that something isn't for you, but that's okay. And you can start over and do something else, just because you've spent a lot of time doing something, or, you know, you went to school for X, Y, or Z, does not mean you must, you're a prisoner there.
Ooh, throw the mic across the room right now.
Right there. That's the footage for the reel.
That
right
was
there.
It.
All right.
Nikki.
Nikki, you are sure fine to us, my darling girl. We are very eternally grateful you have come. And this is your message for anyone to listening to go shoot your fucking shot. You have no idea what could open up for you. A whole new career, a whole new life, two new lovely friends, right? And so go shoot that chat. Whatever you've been scared to do, go send that DM right now.
Just do it, baby.
If you enjoyed this episode, please send it to a friend who might enjoy it soon. We are asking you to rate, review, and subscribe and follow us at Apple Podcasts. And we are not kidding about the rating and reviewing. We're getting desperate here, people.
Yes, so, please.
5-star, guys.
We're supposed to beg at this point, apparently.
I'll do it for you.
Thank you. And don't forget that to grow yourself, you got to know yourself.
Hey guys, I'm Alana Dunn, and I'm the host of Seeing Other People. As an early Hinge employee, a modern dater, and now a fiancé, I know the dating world maybe a little too intimately. I'm here to make you feel less alone in your dating journey, whatever it may look like. Don't have a date for tonight? No problem. Whether you're looking for love or just want to laugh and commiserate with others, tune in to Seeing Other People as we explore the roller coaster that is the ever-evolving world of dating.